Okay, Dave, go ahead.
Okay. The first item is personnel board appointment. And as discussed last week, there were three board members on the personnel board. There is, as of now, there is one opening. And we were asked to bring this back and put this back on the agenda for this week for consideration.
Bosom buddy, lifelong friend and pal, Mr. Cole, Dave Kevin.
Dave Kevin? All right. Dave, good work. Okay. Is there a second to that?
Second.
Okay. It's been moved and seconded that we approve Dave Kevin for the personnel board. Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Duke?
Yes.
Mr. Rogers?
Yes.
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Rogers.
Okay. The next item is just really for information, but I wanted to bring you up to date about dog control. As you may recall, the state of Delaware continues to be responsible for dog control, the administration of dog control, although the counties are covering the net cost of the program. For Sussex, this is about $600,000 this year. GenRec and the General Assembly have indicated that they would like to see the counties take over the administrative functions of dog control. But currently, Delaware Code does not give us that ability. So we do not legally have the authority to perform dog control functions. DENREC put together this draft of a bill to change state code so that each county would be responsible for their own dog control functions. And this would include responsibilities, would include issuing dog licenses, inspections of dog kennels and retail dog dealers, seizing and pounding dogs, enforcing dog control regulations, especially regarding humane treatment. So at a recent meeting with DENREC, they explained their current situation. They have a contract with Kent County SPCA.
That's currently how it is, Kent County SPCA?
Kent County SPCA is currently handling it. The contract expires June 30 of 2009. Kent County SPCA appears to be doing a good job. I mean, we have not had a tremendous number of complaints, and they have had the contract for 3 years, and they have expressed interest in it, renewing it. I guess the concern is that on one hand, the General Assembly and DENREC, or not DENREC so much, as the General Assembly indicated in the legislation that they would like to see this turned over, these responsibilities turned over to the counties at the end of June or July 1st. But there's not really enough time, and DENREC pretty much agrees, staff people pretty much agree that there's only a limited amount of time to shift responsibility to the counties, which would involve, first of all, legislation to even give the counties the ability to perform this, which we don't have that ability right now. But if that legislation was approved, then the counties would either have to issue an RFP like the state did a few years ago for dog control functions or establish their own programs in-house, which would be rather cumbersome to do very quickly. So in our feeling, and especially I know that Kent County pretty much agrees that there's insufficient time to, first of all, have appropriate legislation passed to give the counties dog control ability, and then there is insufficient time to establish a county-run dog control program. So anyway, we would suggest considering supporting at least a one-year extension of this proposed legislation changing dog control responsibility to the counties. You know, we have to at least have sufficient time to do, you know, if we wanted to do an RFP, to do an RFP and take over these responsibilities. But so we talked with the Kent County administrator, and he indicated that Kent County supports, you know, keeping the administrative function at the state level at this time, and that's what I wanted to talk to you about. And I don't think it's practical to try to have legislation or come to some agreement on legislation regarding shifting dog control functions to the counties and then instituting a new program within 6 months. I just don't think it's practical.
Absolutely true.
That $600,000, is that up from previous years?
It was, years ago we didn't contribute at all. And then the state legislation, and I don't know, 5 or 6, maybe 5 years ago, when this whole emphasis came about to try to shift dog control functions to the counties, state legislation was set up so that the counties pay 50% of the net cost. They figure out how much they're going to get in dog license revenue, and then they come up with a net cost and proportion that to each of the counties. So we were paying about $300,000 as part of the budget agreement process a year ago, or not quite a year ago, 9 months ago, I guess. We agreed to, and the three counties were on board to increase that to basically where the counties pay 100%. So we're paying 100% of the net cost, which is almost $600,000 this year. And that's the contract.
A 3-year contract went to 2 years, but the bottom line. We had a 3-year agreement, and they shortened it up on their, because they can't manage their money properly. So,
has there been any attempt to determine if we could do it for less in-house?
We haven't analyzed it to that extent at this point. Now, one thing, there was some additional money funded to Kent County SPCAs to establish kennels and an appropriate holding area for animals, which would be something we would have to look at, plus, dog control agents and we can do
that's
it.
If
we'll
that's
do an
if
analysis.
We didn't subcontract it out to the SPCA, is that correct?
We didn't sub it out, yes. And there's probably, I think we could probably earn more revenue through the dog licensing than what the state does. How much more revenue we could earn, but I think it seems that there are many dog owners who have unlicensed dogs, and it's not, the state is not really looking at that very hard.
Well, 2 years ago, they were in here, saying that the whole program statewide really needed $4.56 million to even work, and that they can't answer the complaints with all the complaints that they get versus the abuse of animals. It was just astronomical. And that incident I had on the farm, it was crazy about the amount of limited resources they had and what they had to do and what they couldn't do. It was just unbelievable, these people, the number of complaints they got a day. Is this going to be a deal where you pay and you don't get to say, and the state's still telling me what to do, like the paramedics thing is going to be?
Well, right now, that's pretty much the way it is, right?
Right.
We're paying for the cost. But,
what this proposed bill does is to delete the sections of the state code that require the state to exercise control over dogs and adds a new chapter to the county code, which basically takes what the state code says now and adopting it verbatim for the counties to give you the authority to do it. And then after you do it, then I think in the epilogue language of the budget, they require that there be at least 3 dog control officers in Sussex County, 3 in Kent and more in Newcastle, 6, I believe, in Newcastle. But then you would have to adopt your own county ordinance to set up a fee structure, what dog licenses would cost, what the fines and penalties are for people who violate.
Dan, you want that job?
You want me dog catcher, Dan? The other thing the concern was with the state was that they had a very, very minimal licensing fee, and they didn't want to change that because that basically tracked inoculation. And if you put the fees up, the dogs that they need to be inoculated wouldn't get done. And that the spread of disease would be rampant. That's why they didn't want to raise the fees for inoculating your animals or getting them the license. Because that track, to get a license, you have to have inoculated.
It would discourage people bringing them in.
And that was it's a broad discussion that you could take a whole day on.
It's something we'll have to subsidize, I'm sure.
Yeah, it's funding and it's, but the sad thing is, you're going to pay and you have no say. That's the way that legislation.
Don't get many new.
You'd be the only one who would say the way.
Ship all dogs to Maryland?
Yeah.
They would.
You would.
Well, that'd be good.
I mean, there's no doubt it's going to be a huge, but I agree with you, Dave, on putting it off for another year, because it's going to, once you get the legislation, then there's a lot of detail of who's going to do what and everything else.
But there would be a lot to be honored out. And it appears that the Kent County SPCA contract could be, with this, that the state has, could be extended for another year if the state wanted to go in that direction. So.
You may be helped by that argument, asking for a delay, by the fact that this proposed legislation may take a while to get adopted when the new legislature goes back in session.
Right. Yeah, they're not.
This is not a high priority.
It's certainly going to be probably June 30th or somewhere in that neighborhood when they do something like this, and then they expect you to start in 2 days. Is the legislation we're looking at, is it strictly what the state does, or the SPCA, or the state contracts the SPCA to do now? Is it this legislation?
It's pretty much it, yes.
If they do all this, it's no wonder they're busy. That's why they can't pick any dogs up, because as much as they're doing right here, I mean, it's this, if you read this legislation, heating and cooling and temperature of dogs.
That's now in the state law.
I understand that. Ventilation, heating, internal surface restrictions, shelter from sunlight.
Stickles is looking for a job.
I don't know if a dog owner is not going to pretty much be on the hook if they really want to do it, you know.
They enforce that?
Yes. I think we really look at, if we're going to pursue it for another year, that we ought to get somebody to look at this thing and say, some of the rules are just, there's no way that it's just unbelievable.
An alternative would be to say, if this is going to happen, just do something very simple, giving the counties the authority to do it, but allow the counties to adopt their own
program. Right.
Because this doesn't contain exceptions for instance, hunting dogs, things like that. It's across the board.
Should be the position we take, that we
I agree, because this is this.
We adopt our own at the local level.
Yep.
It's just amazing.
Issue 22 to everybody.
I think either way, we definitely need some time to.
You need authorization to send, a letter or something like that with the Demrec and whoever and the Mucky Mucks are up there?
Yes, if the council doesn't object, we would send a letter requesting additional time.
I would say maybe as the letter should state that we would ask that they, extend the contract maybe to SPCA for one more year, and that we just want the ability to do our own thing, for lack of a better word. Is everybody?
I think we put Hal Godwin in charge of that. Look at that smile on his face. He wants to tackle this issue.
He looks a little muddy, everyone. No.
There's a couple things.
Is anybody? Dave, you can go. I don't think anybody's on. Is everybody okay with that? Did this right? Okay, please. Okay.
Keep moving.
Okay. The next item is the administrator's report, and
another thing you left us with.
First item is Caroline on the Circle Food Drive. We are pleased to announce that the Caroline on the Circle Food Drive has been very successful given the difficult economic times. This year, close to 27,000 food items have been collected as of today for distribution to local food banks throughout the county. Approximately 7,600 food items were collected from Sussex County schools. We wish to thank everyone who assisted with the Caroline on the Circle program and raising food items for the needy. Additional food items are still being collected. Please contact Mr. Frank Shade and his number if you would like to donate additional numbers, 854-5382. Luncheon for county employees. Retiring Councilman Finley Jones, Lynn Rogers, and Dale Dukes will be sponsoring a luncheon for county employees at the Georgetown Fire Hall from 11:30 to 1:30.
I didn't get asked.
Got outvoted.
On Wednesday, December 10th.
2-1, baby, 2-1.
On behalf of the county employees, we wish to thank you in advance for your years of service and for your hospitality and recognition of employee efforts.
With all these luncheons, Dave, we're going to have to get on some kind of health program as soon as these guys leave.
Started July this year.
Does not fit in with our new health program.
Don't we have Weight Watchers already?
Started Weight Watchers.
Weight Watchers now?
Is this another part of your scheme to?
Yeah, we're going to clog the arteries.
Clog the arteries of county government.
Going to make it go down.
We'll be broke and clogged up.
And then the next item is the annual Mildred King luncheon.
Is it on the same day?
No, second day. Next day.
No, that's Friday.
Wednesday, and then you go Friday.
Day off and then Friday. As per the attached news advisory, county offices will be closed on Friday, December 12th at 11 a.m. so that employees may attend the annual Mildred King Christmas lunch. County offices will reopen promptly at 1 p.m. on December 12th.
Well, you better take that food.
The next item is private road agreement status. The proposed private road agreement has been sent to developers and engineers for comments. The engineering department is still accepting comments regarding this draft agreement. January, the county engineer will, after making changes as a result of these comments, bring the agreement back to the county council for consideration. Previous comments from engineers, developers, etc., were considered in drafting the agreement, which is intended to mirror the agreement already in place for sewer and water districts. Beneficial acceptance, engineering department granted beneficial acceptance to Bay Forest Phase 1.5A. On December 8th, the developers Bay Forest LLC. The project is located on the east side of White's Neck Road in the Millville expansion of Bethany Beach Sanitary Sewer District, consisting of 43 single-family lots. Judith Dickerson, retirement. Judith Dickerson, who has worked for Sussex County Council since July 16th, 1973, has announced her retirement as of December 15th. She currently works in the Recorder of Deeds office. We wish her the best of luck in the future and thank her for her 35 years of service. And she also worked in data processing. And as of this, the deputy in Recorder Deeds office indicated they do not see a need at this time, given the volume of work, to fill that position.
Is there going to be another luncheon?
Thursday.
Thursday. You got this week covered. We don't get paid a lot, but the food doesn't cost much. Yeah.
Part of your benefit package is
benefit
lots of lunches.
Benefit package. That's retirement benefit
then,
package.
Then Christmas lunch is probably starting next week.
But if you walk in Bethany, if most of you here, you won't have worries. You'll burn those calories, baby.
I'm not worried.
Okay. Any other questions for Dave? Susie?
Thank you. Last week, we worked on some major pension changes, which gave me some direction of how we're going to treat this year's pension contribution. And following up on that, I would like to open two new restricted pension fund accounts. What these accounts will do is let me move the pension funds contributions annually from the general fund or the water and sewer district to the pension fund, and I can use that as a vehicle as to where to put the next step to put the funds, whether we keep it ourselves like we're doing it this year and holding back some of the money from going into the market all at once and staggering CDs throughout the year, or transferring it right over to one of our portfolio managers. This was a suggestion also made by our investment consultants that we're at the place now where we have five different managers, and it's good to have a sort of like a clearing account in your pension fund, so there's a complete and clear trail of taking your funds from the general fund over to the pension fund and then dispersing them, because there could be a time when, for instance, we have in the past putting the whole 100% contribution into the state pool. We might not do that. We might determine that they should not get 100%. We might need to go 50% into DuPont Capital or 50% into the state pool. This allows us to have a nice trail to go from the general fund into the pension fund into our portfolio manager. So
Is everybody determined?
You did approve changes at the last meeting. I just need to have these accounts open to be able to do that. Mm-hmm. I have resolutions.
Absolutely. I'm proud you don't
And in the resolution, to be, just to be clear, it does say that the funds in these, this account are restricted for the use of the employee pension plan only. So it's very restricted to the use of the funds that will be in this account. And I have one for the employee pension plan and the other post-employment retirement benefits. Authorizing the payment from funds of the Sussex County Council on deposit with the Wilmington Trust Company, bearing the signature of any two of Finley B. Jones, Jr., President, Lynn J. Rogers, Vice President, or Susan M. Webb, Finance Director, and a signature may be a facsimile provided one live signature is on check or withdrawal. Account, Sussex County Council Employee Pension Plan.
Is there a resolution number to that, Susie, or not really?
No.
Just not yet. It's
just adopt that.
Then you put the big, okay. Motion, gentlemen?
So moved.
Second.
Moved second that we approve the starting of a new account for the pension trust account. Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Dukes?
Yes.
Mr. Rogers?
Yes.
Yes. Motion set.
And one more. Be it moved by authorizing the payment from funds of the Sussex County Council on deposit with the Wilmington Trust Company, bearing the signatures of any two of Finley B. Jones, Jr., President, Lynn J. Rogers, Vice President, or Susan M. Webb, Finance Director, and a signature may be a facsimile provided one live signature is on check or withdrawal for account Sussex County Council Post-Employment Benefit Plan.
Who moved?
Second.
Moved in second that we approve the new deposit account as stated. Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Dukes?
Yes.
Mr. Rogers?
Yes.
Yes. Motion passed.
Thank you.
Thanks for not making extra copies, too. I appreciate that, Susan. Al, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mr. President, members of Council. This afternoon, we have one wastewater agreement for your consideration, and that agreement is Sussex County Project Number 81-04 in Bethany Woods, Agreement Number 740. In this case, the developer is Mr. Rick Judge of Rehoboth Beach. The location for this will be south of County Road 360 and McCoy's Way, part of the Cedar Neck expansion of the Bethany Beach Sanitary Sewer District. There'll be 19 lot subdivisions served here with a total connection systems charge is $80,332. We do already have approvals from our engineering department as well as DENREC, and we're expecting 25 days of construction with a construction administration and construction inspection cost totaling $19,500. The proposed construction cost for this project will be $130,000. The motion to empower this decision would be worded as follows. Be it moved that based upon the recommendation of the Sussex County Engineering Department for the Sussex County Project Number 81-04, Agreement Number 740, that the Sussex County Council execute a construction administration and construction inspection agreement between Sussex County Council and Bethany Woods LLC for wastewater facilities to be constructed in the Bethany Woods located in the Cedar Neck expansion of the Bethany Beach Sanitary Sewer District.
Motion, gentlemen?
I'll make that motion.
Second.
It's moved to second that we approved agreement number 740 as stated. Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Dukes?
Yes.
Mr. Rogers?
Yes.
Yes.
Gentlemen, also this afternoon for your consideration, we have two disbursements requested from our local municipal fund. The first one is the fine town of Milton. They would like to request a full draw of their $25,000 allotment to be used $15,000 for capital expenses and $10,000 for operating expenses. The other town that has requested a disbursement, another fine town in Sussex County, Bridgeville, which also is asking for the full draw of their allotment, which is $25,000. This will be used a little differently. They're suggesting that we permit them to use this money. I'll break it down for you. $2,800 for some inkjet printers for their police vehicles, three new bulletproof vests totaling $2,032, $4,000 for a digital ID system, a light bar, $2,000, Motorola charger and batteries for $2,300, and some vehicle markings of $700. Totals $13,832 in equipment and they'll use the remaining amount, $11,168, for operational expenses. Motion would be it moved the Sussex County Council approve two full disbursements from our municipal police grant fund of $25,000 each for the towns of Bridgeville and Milton.
Motion, gentlemen?
So moved. Go ahead, second.
So moved second that we approve the full payment of $25,000 for police grant, enforcement grant, for Milton and Bridgeville. Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Dukes?
Yes.
Mr. Rogers?
Yes.
I'm not going to pass it, no. Yeah, that motion passed.
Thank you.
Come on down, Bill.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Good afternoon, Bill. Good afternoon, Brad.
We're here today for hopefully a preliminary approval on MPHU applicant, Shipbuilders LLC. The group and Ms. Bennett and I have been working with them for 4 or 5 months on different issues, and Ms. Bennett will give the report and hopefully get a preliminary approval to proceed to P&Z.
Good morning, good afternoon. I guess you have an outline in front of you, what I'll go over. The developer is Shipbuilders LLC. The project is in Ellendale. It's on the corner of 113 and 16 approximately. Public water and sewer. Water is artesian. Sewer will be us. Complete ownership of the property. With the new comp plan, the project is in developing area. With state strategies, it does have some pieces in level 4. The developer has indicated to us that they've been working with the town of Ellendale to proceed with an annexation request, much like Ingram Village, who we approved several months ago. And we'll be working with the town of Ellendale to formulate those documents necessary to make that happen. The property is about 141 acres. It's zoned right now AR1 and GR, but the proposed zoning is MR, RPC. They will not receive any density bonus from us. There's a total number of units of 297. And with the MPHUs, the market rate units for single-family homes range from 152 to 192. The townhomes are 138 to 148. For MPHU, the 15% is 45. 23 of those will be single family, ranging from 139 to 179. 22 townhomes, 125 to 134. The developer, they applied technically in Tier B, which is our middle income range. However, the two-bedroom townhome and single family prices are really kind of a Tier C pricing. So the developer has agreed They did proposed pricing in their application, and the developer has agreed to sort of lock those exact numbers in stone when those units become available, as opposed to us updating the prices, which we do every year. They also have agreed to extend the priority marketing period to 270 days based on current market conditions, as well as just the pricing of the homes. The homeowner fees will be about $200 a year. There's 5 phases of this development. Right now, the builder isn't really sure exactly how many MPHUs and market rates will be built per phase. The developer is also offering MPHU homeowners a $7,500 allowance that will be used for closing or settlement and or to bring down the cost of the home. But they can use all the $7,500 in whichever way they want. There's some good community design features. They have sidewalks, obviously, a traditional layout, streetlights, 76 acres of open space, and plan on having a bus stop at the entrance of the subdivision. Past experience is Shipbuilders Village in Melton and Heron Bay in Lewis. So if there's sort of just to see how you guys feel about this project.
I got a question. What happens if the market stays the way it is and the projections that they have for their pricing of the market rate units become as low as or comparable to what the price they have for MPUs or MPHUs? Do they lower that down a percentage from, in other words, if they marketed everything at the 139 and 179, are they able to do that?
It's feasible, yes.
Yes.
Because we can't control their market rate units, the prices.
Well, we're giving them extra density. Why can't we control that they keep this spread?
No, they're not getting density.
There's no density here.
All they would receive would be the expedited review.
And really, I don't know what that would mean this day and time.
What are they getting from the county again?
Expedited review is the only.
Okay, they're looking for that. Okay.
And basically, that was some of our concerns. We had a problem with them not coming to see and stay in and see the committee, and we negotiated negotiation. So they did send an amendment stating, as Ms. Bennett said, that they would always agree to keep those prices, and also because our concerns that of the market, we went with the 270 days that you said we need more than 180.
Well, they do that, right. But they haven't given us any commitments on anything, really, have they?
Well, we do have.
Maintain that price for 200.
Pardon?
They committed to maintain those prices for 270 days.
$7,500 bonus.
And to pay $7,500 towards.
And that will be all of these agreements that the developers made will be put into our contract, which they sign after they go through planning and zoning, which is sort of the final.
So they're just looking to try to get some expedited review.
Yes.
And so we,
did work with them to try to.
Yeah. They have been working with Town of Allendale, and the mayor is here. I don't know if she's allowed, Jim, or if you would
to come. It doesn't matter. I would just think that expedited review is worth something, and if we're going to give them that, we ought to be getting something, and I don't see where we're getting really too many guarantees other than some will be priced for 270 days. We don't know how many.
There you go.
No, all of ours.
How many will come on at any one time? I mean, there's just a lot of.
They got a phase they have to provide.
No matter when they're offered.
I just would maybe I think in the future maybe we all put a little more pressure on tightening up, you know, what we're getting out of this. I mean, to really benefit these people who need this type of housing. So in other words, if there's a spread, they're calling for a spread of whatever that percentage is. That if they have their prices drop down lower because of the market, that then the, you know, the moderately priced ones are even lower than that.
Right.
You know, I mean, in other words, they keep that distance.
Yeah,
pricing
should be
consistent.
We suggested that, but we were unable to come up to agreement on that. And I don't think by the ordinance that we could require it.
Definitely a future amendment.
We need that amendment in the MPHU ordinance. We have talked about just what you said, that we need a percentage that says that our units always be X number of percentage
because
points below the market rate. Dave has that option.
Okay, but Bill, as I pointed out before, we're expediting so many things. We have people who are coming into the system and are doing and following the rules, and they're getting expedited by all these different programs now. So I hate to see those guys keep getting pushed back. And unless we're really getting something out of it. So, I mean, to expedite something, there ought to be some benefits.
I think we're getting moderate housing.
Yeah, we're getting affordable housing at the current
rate. Right now, the marketplace is giving us affordable housing because nobody's going to build anything that's not going to do it. So, I mean, as I've said before, government really is not the answer probably here because the marketplace.
George, can you go down to Hilton and buy a single-family home for $179,000?
You ought to go pick.
I've seen about 199.
Pick up some of those Homes and Lands magazines from different parts of this country. You'll be surprised.
Well, I don't care.
A lot of bargains
else
out there.
I care about the people in Suffolk County.
Well, there's a lot of bargains here.
Okay,
but the market's coming down.
You just need approval from us.
What we need from you is the approval for them to proceed to planning and zoning, and then obviously they would come back to you, and then we would sign the official contract.
Let's see what we got out of it.
Right. Okay. Do you have a motion, or is that?
Yeah, I can.
Any other question before she reads the motion? I don't think so.
Okay. Be it moved that council preliminarily approve the MPHU application of Shipbuilders Village LLC contingent on the applicant obtaining zoning approval for their project and signing an MPHU agreement prepared by the county attorney.
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Thank you. We move to second that we approve the agreement as stated with the Shipbuilders LLC. Mr. Cole?
Yeah, reluctantly, I'll say yes.
Thanks for blessing.
Well, I just don't think these programs...
Yes.
Mr. Rogers? Yes, motion passed.
Thank you.
Sounds good and feels good, though.